It is said that when the day of college graduation finally arrives, as we're seeing, that's your cue to step out into what's called the real world. And when you do, you're quickly reminded of reality as you stare at your student loan debt. What seems insurmountable and restricting can actually become manageable and not hold you down if you take the right steps. Wrong decisions? Well, don't plan on getting a mortgage or a new car for some time if you play games with your student loan debt. My next guest joins us with some insights and guidance on what to do with that five or in some cases, even six-figure number that you're staring at. He's known as America's Money Answer Man, who's written a series of books, including The Ultimate Guide to Student Loans, Investing to Avoid Them, Applying to Get the Best Ones, and Paying Them Off as Quickly as Possible. Jordan Goodman, thanks for being here today, sir.
Great to be with you, Chris.
MoneyAnswers.com is the website. And current state of affairs of student loans, are we looking at a crisis situation as far as dollars and percentage of people in debt and the financial barrel of the gun they're staring down at?
I think we are. The average person graduating this year is going to have $38,000 in student loan debt. That's the average. Total amount of debt has been $1.3 trillion. And when we get through this graduation season, we'll add about $100 billion to that. So we'll be about to $1.4 trillion. 30-year loans, and in many cases, it's taking a huge chunk out of whatever these people are earning. Now, luckily, the job market's pretty good for graduates. The average salary is going to be around $50,000, so at least they'll have some income to pay it down. But it's a huge burden. Exactly as you said, Chris, is changing society in that because of the student loans, they can't buy a car and buy a house or rent a place or kind of get on with their life. Over 50% of the people graduating this year are going to go back and live at home again because they just can't afford to do anything else. So I would describe that as a crisis, yes.
And long-term, too, because I was looking at, found a chart of a breakdown of demographics of the student loan debt, the under 30s, 30, 39, 40, 49, and so forth. And what was kind of surprising and frightening is the 30 to 39-year-old demographic, the student loan debt total in 2011 of that demo was $281 million. 2015, $408 million.
Right.
So that's when someone's walking out of those gates of the university, they're holding on to, at least up into the here and now, some long-term debt.
A lot of it's graduate school, actually. If you go to business school, law school, dental school, medical school, whatever it may be, that's another $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 on top of your undergraduate loans, whatever that may be. So those people in their 30s have got graduate school loan in many cases as well as undergraduate. So it's just a huge problem for an awful lot of people. But there are things they can do. Let's not just totally say it's a problem. The first thing that they can do is consolidate. There's good ways and bad ways to consolidate. There's a federal education department consolidation program, which can be kind of hard to figure out in some cases. A website that can actually help you do it is consolidatecollege.com, and they're going to take all the different loans you have at different interest rates, combine them into one at the lowest possible interest rate, and then help you. So that month you have one to pay instead of many to pay. So it cuts a little bit. It's not a huge amount, but at least it'll help you to some extent. That's the first thing. The second thing that'll have a bigger impact is you can actually refinance your student loans. And a lot of people don't realize you can do that. It's a relatively new industry, about 5 years or so it's been around. And you take federal loans, but also private loans. And a lot of people have to take private loans because they can't get enough in the federal loans to cover the tuition these days.
Yeah.
You combine the federal and the private into one. And depending on the day, the interest is somewhere in the 2 to 3% range. And then, again, you make one payment a month. And if you're paying it off 2 to 3% instead of 5 or 10 or whatever it may be, that'll help you pay it off quicker. A website for that is called Credible, C-R-E-D-I-B-L-E. So Credible.com/moneyanswers. And what they do is they've got about five or six different lenders who you kind of shop them around and see where you get the best deal. So that can help, again, consolidate it, but also get you a lower interest rate that in many cases would not have been available in the past.
Do people make a mistake by confusing consolidation as being the same as refinancing, and does that mistake wind up costing them?
Well, it does. I mean, it's two different things. Consolidation is going through the federal program, and there's actually a lot of scam outfits out there saying, you know, consolidation will help you pay your student loans off really fast, and they're able to do it. The one I just gave you, that consolidatecollege.com, is the legitimate one. But because the amount of debt is so high and the stress is so high of paying these things back, it makes people ripe for getting scammed. So you got to be careful of who you deal with in that area.
Talking with Jordan Goodman about student loan debt, moneyanswers.com. He's also author of a series of books, including, in this case, mostly apropos, The Ultimate Guide to Student Loans, Investing to Avoid Them, a plan to get the best ones and paying them off as quickly as possible. Again, it's moneyanswers.com, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. For the novice, and let's get to the people, because also the college hunting is going on, too.
Right.
Is student loan interest a fixed or variable rate, or does it vary based upon the loan source that you're taking?
The federal ones are somewhat variable. They basically adjust them once a year. So it's not fixed forever, but once you've got it, it's fixed. But each year it goes up and down a little bit based on what the prime rate is doing. So the federal loans for students today is about 4.5%, something like that. But unlike other loans, it's not based on the credit of the applicant, because the applicant's 17 or 18 years old, so they don't even have a credit record yet in those cases. I mean, it's the only thing you can do. If you're a 17 or 18-year-old, there's not a lot you can do, but you can get yourself in real trouble by taking on a lot of student loan debt. It's quite amazing that they make these loans, and that's why banks in the past needed loan guarantees, because they're not going to lend to somebody who has no income ability to pay these things back. Already, we're in trouble. I mean, we talked about the crisis. About 20% of the student loan debt outstanding, and again, we're talking about $1.3 trillion, is either delinquent or in default. That is really bad, because when you pay late or don't pay on your student loans, the interest rate shoots up dramatically, like to 18%, and then they'll start taking money away from you. So say, for example, you get a tax refund, the federal government will grab that before you get it. They'll garnish your paychecks. I mean, they'll do whatever they can to get that thing repaid. So it can be a real pain when you have a delinquent or defaulted student loan.
So on the idea of the prevent defense, then, to lessen the blow once you start doing the loans, what's one or two good ideas that either a student who is really conscious about finances, or their mother and father and family, what can they do to, as you say in the one book, either invest or target how to fund for the future for when it comes to college?
Well, every dollar you can save up front is when you don't have to borrow when you get to college. So that's why the first part of my book is how to save to avoid them in the first place. Probably the best thing to do are these so-called 529 plans, where you put aside money. It grows tax-free as long as you use it for college expenses, books, tuition, room and board. It stays completely tax-free. And you've got some pretty good choices. You can do aggressive stock funds, and there's a bunch of different mutual funds within those plans. Some states, I don't think New Jersey is one of them, but some states you can actually deduct your contributions as well. So set it up so it's automatic. I mean, put $100, $200, $300 a month into that, starting from age zero. And, again, you have a decent amount of money there. It's that you don't have to borrow when you get to school. Certainly you can do scholarships. There are a lot of scholarships available. There are these scholarship search services that can help you do that. What I recommend, Chris, is that the parents have the kids look for the scholarships. Don't the parents do it, because the kids have no appreciation whatsoever. It's like, oh, well, just free money, you know. Well, they may have to write an essay or do something to qualify for the scholarships, but there is a lot of scholarships. In fact, last I heard, there's about $3 billion in scholarship money that's available every year that is not given out because nobody applies for it, because they don't know about the specific thing. I mean, if you're a left-handed ping-pong player from New Jersey wanted to go to Idaho State, you may be the only one applying for that kind of thing, you know? So there's just a lot of very specific scholarships that you may find you qualify for. And again, that's money that you don't have to pay back, that you don't have to borrow against as well.
And granted, they're not all 4- and 5-figure scholarships, but if you can tally up a bunch of 3- and 4-figure scholarships, you at least
wind up. Add up. Yeah. Absolutely. It takes some work, you know, and there's deadlines. I mean, you have to figure out, I would start the process maybe when you're a sophomore or junior in high school, because you've got to figure out what the deadlines are, if you have a good chance of getting it, do you have to write an essay, whatever it may be, to qualify for the thing. You can't start the process now, like May of senior year. It's too late to get a lot of scholarships, at least for this coming fall. But maybe you could do it for the following year. So it takes some work, but I'm always in favor of free money, so that's certainly a good example of it.
Without a doubt, and certainly you heard Jordan mention the figures, $1.3 trillion in student loan debt out there. With that amount of debts, you might sooner versus later see a lot of these resources start to be a little more reluctant, only because of the debt and the default that is hanging out there. But nevertheless, that's just one of the reasons why you go to moneyanswers.com and get a hold of Jordan's book, The Ultimate Guide to Student Loans, Investing to Avoid Them. I plan to get the best ones and paying them off as quickly as possible. Jordan Goodman, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate it.